gospel card for you. We travel the country and preach Christ crucified to this lost and dying world. What's your name, man?
I'm Keith Crow.
Keith? Uh-huh. I'm James. Nice to meet you. It's my wife, Debbie.
Debbie, how you doing?
Yeah, we travel all over. We work our way in the wintertime. Well, we go all over the country, but in the wintertime, there's not many people out up north. It's cold. So we head south.
Florida? Are you going
to
Florida?
Well, we go all different places. We will go to Florida, but we've been to, you know, Texas and Alabama and South Carolina and North Carolina. We'll go all over
beautiful
the place.
Beautiful country, ain't it?
Well, yeah, we just go. Main reason we go is we just did an audio for, we have a large website, don'tperish.com. You can check it out. We just did a website for my wife's sister's blog area. And we were telling people we're like God's creation. We migrate. And the reason we migrate is not to go down and sit and sunbathe in the warm weather. We go down because we're from Wisconsin originally. And Wisconsin in November, December, January, February, there ain't nobody outside.
I wouldn't be either.
Yeah, and so that's why we travel south. And we preach Christ crucified and call people out of the culture. This culture is dying. It's about God's going to judge it. We're living in the days of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah. And also... Yeah. And most people in America, unless they're, you know, rabid liberals, most people would agree with that, or atheists. But the other thing that we do...
I'm a conservative Christian.
Okay.
And a Republican.
Okay. So the other thing that we do...
I'm on your side.
Well, I don't know. Hold on. I didn't finish the other part.
Okay.
The other part that we do is that isn't popular down south there is we call people out of the church system, because the church systems are part of the problem. And see, the Sunday church systems, you know, how old is America? 250-some years old?
Yeah.
You've had denominational churchianity in America for 250-some years.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the fruit of America. The reason America's in the trouble she's in, and the world, is because people are not living out the biblical gospel, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, his death for the forgiveness of sins, his resurrection for defeating of death, by repentance, changing your ways, your mind, to seek the kingdom of God. Be born again by the Spirit of God. I'm preaching the gospel to you. Mm-hmm. Born again, you get a new heart, you get a new mind. You test your life to all the ways of God versus the ways of the culture and man-made religion. And you walk in holiness and obedience, and then you endure to the end. That's the gospel that America and the world's not following. And the Sunday church places don't propagate that gospel. What they propagate is a form of religion. Paul says in 2 Timothy that in the last days people will have the appearance of religion, appearance of godliness, but they deny the power of God. The power of God is a transformed life.
Yeah.
We used to be worldly people and partiers and drunks, and the power of God, while I do believe in miracles, God can raise the dead, God can heal cancer, God can cast out demons, we can pray for all these things to happen, but we're not living in the days of Acts anymore. It's different. That was a powerful move for a purpose, and I do believe God still does miracles in his timing, in his way. But the power of God today is the gospel to transform a life. And I always tell people, if I had the power, let's say you had a crippled hand, your hand's all crippled. If I had the power to lay my hand on you and heal your hand, and your hand would grow out, and you'd go, whoa, you healed my hand, that's amazing. And I'd go, yeah, miracle, huh? You'd go, wow, this is incredible. I have a question. What's a greater miracle? Me healing your hand through the power of God for what, another 40, 50 years, and you're going to be dust like me, right? We're going to be dead?
Yeah.
Or what if I preach the gospel to you, and you come from the world or from churchianity or come out of whatever sins you might wrestle with, or if you're not born again, you become born again, and your entire heart and mind and life and soul is transformed for eternity.
That is that number two.
Well, that would be the better miracle. So when Jesus said, these things you will do greater...
Uh-huh.
What we will do greater is we get the chance to transform the world with the gospel that he left us. And the Sunday church systems, I say Sunday, we don't keep Saturday, the church systems.
Okay,
the church systems. Jesus said you must worship in spirit and truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The evangelicals, let's just talk about them. And we don't belong to any denomination. The evangelicals, okay. Well, even the non-denoms, I mean, we throw those in there too. But the evangelicals and the Roman Catholics, they're all keeping false religion because Sunday's not the Lord's Day. You know who ordained that? Not God, man.
Some Romans did later.
The Roman Catholics did. Christmas and Easter, these are not, they call them holidays. You know what a holiday really means?
Day off work.
Well, no, I mean biblically. Do you know what a holiday is?
Think
of the first three letters. What would that be? A holy day.
Holy day, okay.
Who makes days holy?
Church.
God. God alone.
God alone.
So Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, these are not holy days that God ordained. They're holidays man and created.
Okay, I got it.
How can you practice them and be in spirit and truth?
This is like Christmas. It's not really a holiday.
No, it's not. It's Jesus wasn't born then. Yeah. It's become commercialized.
It's way become commercialized.
Yeah, yeah. And the Bible says, preach Christ crucified every day. Have you noticed people focus on one day a year, pretty much? They do the big Easter thing.
Yeah.
And that's the big deal. And then pretty much the rest of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you go to my website, don'tperish.com, for free, we don't take anybody's money.
Don't perish.
Yeah, don'tperish.com.
Okay.
Right there.
And
we have thousands of resources, and what it'll do is help you test your faith, your life, to the biblical gospel. Because here's the thing, if you're living outside of the kingdom of God, there's two kingdoms, as my card says.
Mm-hmm.
There's a kingdom of God. Guess who the other kingdom is?
Kingdom of Satan.
Satan. So I have a question. If this is the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. and it's operating in spirit and truth by God's word and ways and not man-made religion, and this is the kingdom of Satan, which is the culture and man-made religion. Is there anything in between?
No.
So ponder this as you walk away. You're either seeking and living in the kingdom of God, which means you better be getting in the truth. You better be repenting of the culture, repenting of false religion, churchianity systems, whether it's non-denominational, whatever. None of them. None of them are biblical. They're all compromised to fill up buildings.
Yeah.
You're either in that kingdom of God, repenting of all that, or guess who owns you?
Satan.
You're in his kingdom. See, Satan's a master deceiver. He's brought politics. He's brought sports.
Yep.
He's brought music. He's brought entertainment.
I've always said this.
He's brought religion.
Sports and everything is a distraction.
Yeah, I know.
It's all a distraction.
He's a master distractor.
And some of these politicians are passing stuff.
Yeah.
It's just out there.
And see, this is the big problem with the church system. They're pretty much married to the world, because unless they come out of the world or different, you notice my wife and I dress different. Because the Bible tells us to dress different. The Bible actually instructs us, and you can learn about that on our website. I'll take you right to God's Word. Okay. Teaches us, these are our temples.
Yeah, our bodies are temples.
How should we dress our temple?
Good, I guess.
According to God's ways or the culture's ways?
God's way.
That's why we dress different. You notice we talk different. I preach different. We're not part of the world. Yeah, I drive a vehicle, but that's just because it gets us around. But we don't go to the sporting events other than to preach.
We stand outside
and preach. We don't go to the movies. We don't go and seek the carnal, fallen ways of the world. Because when you're born again by the Spirit of God, He ruins you to sin. You no longer can even enjoy sin. If you try to go back and sin and do the sin you used to do before you were regenerated, you can. And you'll lose your soul if you stay in it. Because once saved, always saved is a lie. Yeah, that is the biggest lie, that you raise your hand, say a prayer, and you're going to heaven no matter what.
Yeah.
I got married one time, okay? Yeah. Don't I have to maintain this every day?
Yes, sir. Exactly.
Could I run off with another woman and ruin my marriage?
No,
could I?
No.
I could, couldn't I?
You could.
Yeah, I could.
But
I better not, right? Can you turn your back and can you live in willful sin and can you turn away from the faith of Christ? The Bible says you can. So many of these false places say that you can't, and that you just raise your hand, that Christ is going to redeem you no matter what. Jesus doesn't forgive any of your sin that you don't repent of. Repent means turn away from it. So what I'd like you to do is, you can contact me. I'd like you to test your religious body.
Okay.
Do they do Christmas? Do they do Easter? Do they do Good Friday? That's a lie. Jesus was in the grave 3 days and three nights. You can't get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday.
No, you cannot.
That's a lie.
I agree with about everything you said.
That's a lie. So test yourself, and then if they are keeping lies and false ways and they won't leave them, do you know what you have to do?
What's that?
You have to leave them. The Bible says in Romans 16:17, mark those who cause division by leaving sound doctrine, and Paul says, avoid them. And that's the only way you can live pure and holy, is to set yourself apart from people that keep false religion and the culture. Get your life in order, and then you can proclaim the good news to them.
Okay.
All right. So if you were all drowned, if you saw a bunch of people drowning in a mud puddle, in a quicksand puddle, would you jump in with them to save them?
No.
What would happen if you jump in with them?
I'd sink right away.
You're all going down. Wouldn't you throw them a rope from the outside?
Yeah.
So you get out.
Yeah,
that's what I do. I go outside and I throw the rope. I will not go inside, because the Bible says, do not unite, do not sing, do not pray, do not unite with the workers of darkness. Because actually those church systems are the synagogues of Satan that Jesus talks about. And go read Revelation. When he was warning the churches, he said, you've left your first love, you're lukewarm, you're keeping sin. I'll remove you, he said.
Mm-hmm.
That's a grave warning.
Moving from your favors.
Yeah, exactly. So
God's favors blesses us with life.
Amen. Every breath, right?
Yeah.
Every step.
Right,
and Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness." What's righteousness? Do you know what it is?
What is defined as righteousness? Just living right?
Yeah, you're close. Keep going. That word right.
Live with God's laws.
Very good. That word right means live and do what's right to God.
Okay.
So that's like in the culture, live lawful.
Yeah.
The police aren't arresting us because we're lawful.
Right.
As soon as you and I go doing a bunch of crimes, they're coming
to get
us. So to live lawful is to live righteous before God. And part of that is the Ten Commandments that God gave us. We don't keep the 613 laws that he gave to Israel. That was for them. But today we live the law of Christ. And really, Jesus summed it up great in Matthew 22. The two great commandments, that if you keep these, you keep them all.
Yeah.
Love God. Love your neighbor. I just did both by preaching the gospel to you. I love God.
Yeah.
I love your neighbor. But if I live like the world and I don't call you to repentance and I don't warn you about sin, am I loving God? No. Am I loving you? No. Most people want to do good works. Hey, here's a free hot dog and a cup of coffee. God bless you. And they walk away.
Yeah.
That's a nice gift.
Yeah.
But if I let you walk away and you die and go to hell, did I really love you eternally the way Jesus did?
Yeah.
And Jesus came. Have you ever noticed? Jesus came with such harsh words that he was hated. They killed him. Paul and the other disciples were persecuted and killed. Why is that? And the American church system is pretty much loved and adored.
Mm.
Everybody just gets along with them. Great. Why is that?
Everybody gets along with God?
No, everybody gets along with the church system. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because they're not preaching the truth.
Yeah.
The truth would call people out of the world.
Yeah.
The truth would condemn them, convict them. If the pastors were to preach the truth, you know what's going to happen? It's going to empty their buildings out.
Yeah.
And all their congregants watching Netflix and going to the sports games and living worldly, dressing in pride and vanity and being carnal.
These whole churches get together after church and go watch football games. They go to somebody's house, they'll sit there and root for a team. Their favorite team, they'll have Alabama, Georgia Bulldogs up on the wall. I've seen this.
I have a question.
Have you seen it?
Yes. Is that seeking the kingdom of God?
No, it's not.
Do you think God cares about football? These guys get in the end zone and they kneel and they pray.
Oh, yeah.
This is making a mockery of God. Football's violent, it's covetous, it's immodest, it's prideful, it's vain.
Yeah.
This is not of God.
We were gonna go
this weekend and preach outside of in Athens. We were gonna preach outside of the Georgia Bulldog game
and God, there'd be thousands of people there. They're
playing
Tennessee.
Yeah, I know. We've preached football games before, but we decided we're gonna do a different event instead. Football is not a good place to witness, and I've come to realize that. We've been to Super Bowls and stuff, and I've done a lot of witnessing there. But what's not great about witnessing at these football events is this. Ready? You walk by, and I don't know what you're doing here, but you walk by, you saw our van, and you're willing to talk. And so it's a good chance for you and I to witness and talk.
Mm-hmm.
People that are going to football games, they're like this. They're headed for football. I have football. Football. And you go, hey, Jesus. I go, football. See what I'm saying?
Yeah,
They just want
An addiction.
Yeah, they just want football. The game's going on. Don't want to hear any of that. But if people come to a park and they're wandering around, or maybe a food festival or a craft show, and they're just, maybe your wife, I don't know if you're married, but your wife would say, come on, let's go for a walk at the craft fair. And you're just walking through the craft fair, and you're not looking at your favorite sports team.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you see a preacher, and you go, what's that?
Now
it might. So some things are better than others. So we like the more innate, calm places because people aren't so laser beam focused on their carnal flesh. Kind of like trying to witness at a drag race or a NASCAR thing. Everybody's watching this.
You can't talk over it.
Nobody's going to care. So that's why we do that, and I decided not to do that one. But
to go to an arts and crafts fair. Yeah.
But the pastors and the church systems link to all that. See, this, they're false converts. They're not truly born of God, most of them. And Jesus said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. And he turns them away. And do you know why he turns them away in Matthew 7?
Right.
He says, you workers of iniquity. That's sin.
Mm-hmm.
So if you keep sin and claim God, if I keep sin and claim God, he's going to turn me away. God says, come, forsake your sin.
Mm-hmm.
Lose your life and realize that if you turn and seek the kingdom of God, guess what it could cost you?
What?
What do you think it could cost
you?
My
soul.
Well, if you don't, it'll cost you your soul. But in this life, what could it cost you? What if you want to serve God with all your heart, and if you were married, your wife says, I'm not doing that. All your friends go, you're crazy. I'm not giving up football. I love TV. I love MMA wrestling. What could it cost you? All those relationships.
Yeah, not true.
What if your career is worldly and carnal? You're a bartender, and you help people get drunk. And you come to the Lord and you go, I can't do this anymore. You got to leave your career.
Exactly.
Jesus said in Matthew 10, you must lose your life to find it in Him.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would ask you is, have you truly, truly lost your life, everything, to follow the kingdom of God in spirit and truth, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? Have you? Do you wake? I preach this a lot when I'm street preaching. People would be walking by at a festival, and I'll tell people, if you did not wake up today with your goal of loving God, obeying God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you are an idolater. Think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Right? It's like if you get married and you wake up in the morning and you're looking at other women. Are you really committed to your wife? If you wake up and you claim to be a Christian, but you're looking at the world, the flesh, all the stuff I want to do, and you go, it's not Sunday, Lord.
It's not Sunday. Yeah, I got it.
See what I mean?
Should be the Lord.
Yeah, so you got to be seeking the kingdom of God. And if you're not doing that, ask yourself, is His Spirit living in me? And if His Spirit isn't in you, it says in Acts 5, He gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. That's what it says. You don't get it if you won't obey God. God won't give it to you. God won't be mocked. He won't be mocked. He knows the future. And if you're not willing to obey Him, He's not giving you the Holy Spirit. It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you can't fool God. You can fool me. You can fool all the people around you. You can't fool God. He sees the inner heart. He sees everything.
So we
encourage people to get in the Word of God. And here's my challenge to you. If you go to a Sunday church system, I can promise you it's not biblical. And if you say it is...
I haven't been in church in so long.
Good. I'm glad. So what I would encourage you to do is get in the Word of God and say, God, do you have more for me than just this faith that everyone around me tells me about? Do you have more for me than which I'm living today? Is there more truth, more righteousness I should be seeking? How is my life not glorifying you in all areas? And seek the kingdom of God. And if you seek with all your heart, God will show you. And He'll begin to help you. And He'll convict you. And if you need help and encouragement, you can reach out to me. I'd love to Bible study with you. I'd love to help you. I'd love to encourage you.
All right, there you go.
You live around here?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I just live a couple miles down the road.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure meeting you. Your first name again?
Keith. And yours?
James and Debbie. Shoot me an email. I'd love to encourage you. Check out don''tperish.com. We don't want your money. We don't take money from people. I want you to open the Scriptures. I want you to come out of the world and come out of the false church system. And I want to see you in heaven one day.
All right. All right, James. Take it
God easy. Be praised. We love you.
Yeah.